your presence. That's where I want to be.
Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy. We're going to continue from last week. It's good if you follow me in sequence. Sometimes I do have an order. Subscribe to this channel and you'll get all of them. And also it helps it from burying my stuff because this is stuff that's not real popular. Today's message is really dear to my heart because it's a movement that I've come out of that actually we were the first state in Minnesota to be called one of these churches back in the, 40-some-five years ago now. But I don't want you to throw stones. I want you to look at the other side of the coin because sometimes when we're taught certain things, we have to relearn them. And that includes preachers as well. And today I have some testimonies of a pastor and a pastor's wife that were trapped in some of these movements that have come out, and also testimonies of death by faith. They thought their confession would cause them to be healed, and they died. Now, does that mean that we don't believe in healing? No, we believe in healing. The Bible says that we should call the elders, lay hands on people, believe for them. We believe in a lot of these things we believe in, but the boundaries have been busted. And certain things and gray areas have come in, and it's no longer faith in Him. Our faith is to be in Him, in God, in what His scriptures say. It's been twisted to have faith in ourselves. And it no longer puts God in the driver's seat, but He's in the back seat, and we're controlling Him. And some even believe they can control the weather. Well, I'd say they're really doing a bad job now. The Bible says there's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be. Now, we can pray protection. We pray Psalms 91. We believe that God will protect us. Don't we believe in that? But to control and stop certain things and given the authority to rule the earth and have dominion like God does is totally what a lot of us were taught when we got saved. And I wrote something down, taking advantage of spiritual ignorance. Think of how mad God would be for preachers taking advantage of spiritual ignorance. In other words, when people are young, they're so hungry, they just want God. They get saved and they just want anything that is God. And then when Christianity's popular, it's on television, it's all over the place, of course you think that because it's popular, it's right. And how mad you as a child, as a parent would be if your child was abducted or, you know, they seduce them through candy, through teddy bears. They draw those spiritual, those little naive kids away into being seduced by an abuser. Well, how much more God hates it when wolves, false teachers come in and they seduce His spiritual hungry children into another gospel, another spirit, and another Jesus. And as we've been finding out, everybody has their own doctrines, everyone has their own Jesus, and everyone has their own spirit. So it's up to us to test the spirits, right? That's your responsibility, that's my responsibility, to research. And I want to encourage all of you, especially if you've come out of these movements like what all of us here have, you have to study to show yourself approved because these things have been indoctrinated in you, ingrained in you. So we have to go back to find out, okay, where did it go off? Where was this a gray area? And so today, don't stone me. Let me have your attention for a little bit. And I also want to encourage you to study and research on your own some of these topics so that it gets inside of you. Because if you've been ingrained in this 40 years, it's not just going to go away. You have got to go back and get a foundation on the Bible. So because a lot of people aren't doing this, they're shipwrecked today. We're finding shipwrecks everywhere, people that won't go to church. And at the end of this message, I want to talk to some of you about a testimony of what you have to deal with if you have to leave your church. Many people are leaving churches today. For right reasons. And they're trying to find home fellowships or trying to find people that are just basically coming back to the simplicity of Him. It's about Him. It's about His Word, okay? So we're going to get to that. But to start off with, let's read in 1 Timothy 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee of thee, that thou by them mightest wage a good warfare. holding faith and a good conscience. We need faith. Faith is simply assurance. It's an assurance of what God said, what he promised. We believe him. When you read your Bible, faith comes. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to try to get spiritual. You don't have to go into a state of trying to have faith. Oh, I just need more faith. Read the Bible and faith comes. How simple is that? I'd go to seminars for 12 years and they'd tell us how to have faith. And I'm like, they're so confusing me. It's all about me, what I have to do. But come back to the gospel. It's what Jesus has done. And there's a rest in that. Just he's given us his word. You read his word, faith comes. Comes by hearing. But he says here, you have to have faith and a good conscience. Now, some of the testimonies I'm going to talk to you today about, they didn't have a good conscience. They had to lie. They had to lie to deny symptoms. God doesn't put us in a state of lying to have a good conscience. We're supposed to have faith and a good conscience. So if you have to lie and say you're not sick, but you are, is that lying? Well, according to some of these movements, you're lying if you don't agree that you have no symptoms. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. And then he mentions two names here. And he tells them, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn what? Not to blaspheme. These people used to be teachers of the word, but now they're tools, false doctrines, to teach and lead people astray. And again, beware when Christianity becomes popular and people are famous. Why? Because Jesus never promised that in his Bible. He said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. And then he also said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Christianity is going to be persecuted. If it's true Christianity, it will not be famous. It's not famous because he tells you he is the way. And in this new age, we have many ways to God, many pathways. So if you say that Jesus is the only way, you're going to be targeted. Maybe not so much right now, but in the future. And we're seeing this in other countries. Persecution is coming. So we want to know that we need to have faith and a good conscience. We're trusting God with a good conscience. And one of the things I want to read here is from the article I shared last week, Death by Faith and Let Us Reason. You find it under Let Us Reason. And now, believe it or not, this is true. You no longer have to go to a crusade. That's right. You can be healed online. In the comfort of your own home, whether you're young, old, black or white, rich or poor, God's healing power is available to you at the touch of a button. Please come and join us. Witness the miracle of Jesus Christ. He claims on his site, no affliction is out of reach of healing. Any affliction will be completely healed. Now even the most unyielding demons can be cast out from the comfort of your favorite chair. All this is guaranteed. All this for the incredible low price of $49.95. While he claims it's a small price to pay for your own personal miracle. This is a very special service available only at this address on the internet. Now here's his directions. Place your left hand on the screen. Now without removing your left hand from the screen, click Heal Now button with your mouse. Sit back and experience the warmth and peacefulness that accompanies God's healing powers as your ailment is divinely removed. This is the most important step. Now remember, you don't want to miss this step. After you have received your healing, you must say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the anointing. Be sure to stress the anointing or else it won't work. That would be sad if it wasn't so pathetic. Okay, now let's look into some false doctrines where we picked up from last week. Galatians 1:9. Do we have to move you too? Galatians 1:9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So now we have, here's Paul speaking to the Galatian church about false teachers that have where? Crept into the church. Remember, the church is the vehicle the enemy wants to use in these end times, the harlot church, and had polluted the gospel message with error. The false teachers and preachers had infiltrated from within, and disguised as Christian teachers and preachers had added improvements. Okay, now we are redefining terms and we're adding improvements to the gospel message, making it not the gospel at all, but what? A heresy, a false doctrine. So the first one, and I want all of you to study this too, the occultic origination from where some of these movements came from. Because if you don't understand the last false movement we have, the next one's going to add on and it's going to use those same techniques to where we're going now into these supernatural schools of ministry and blah, 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 blah. Because they have to build and it's progressive. It's baby steps going forward into the new age. They're not just going to say, okay, here's the new age. You got to be deceived into these kind of things. We had a lot of help being deceived. We had a lot of famous preachers telling us stuff that we swallowed while we got deceived, right? We all thought that it was faith in our faith. I had to have faith in myself. No, it's putting God in the back seat. How sad is that? But it was subtle. We didn't see it. But we need to call it out. You need to warn people, even though they don't want to hear it. People are indoctrinated. You've got to unlearn some things. We all do. And it's sad when we preach some of this stuff. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. And that scripture talks about heaping for yourself teachers, itching ears, being turned aside to what? Fables. Things that are not real and things that do not work. We have a bunch of shipwrecked people now. It, you know, nobody says, oh, I'm going to go and get saved and be shipwrecked. You want to go from here to heaven without any shipwrecks. You know, the Bible says we're likened into a journey. There's a lot of things that Christian life is unto a warfare. It's a journey. But there's a lot of shipwrecks along the way because we put our faith in the wrong thing. And we've been taught doctrines, and we're going to go through a couple of these doctrines right now, that we put our faith in rather than what the Bible really says, okay? So the first ones, you have to understand a lot of these teachings came from the occult. And you cannot... If you don't face this truth, you're not going to get free. If you don't know that this was mixed with Christianity, you will not get free because you're going to say, well, you know, some of that's truth. Well, a little leaven, what does it do? It leavens a whole lump. So you have to come back and just say, okay, this is occultic. E.W. Kenyon was the founder of the Faith Message, and we talked a little bit about it last week, but he... was influenced by New Thought. Do a study on New Thought, because New Thought is not went away. It's coming under different names, The Secret, The Course of Miracles, all these different things, a law of attraction. You attract healing. If you say certain things, you're attracting it to you. So you have to know these things are mixed inside. And I want to be really delicate because we're not attacking people, but you know what? This is important. This is your faith. This is what we've put our trust in. We've put our trust in a lot of these teachers, and a lot of people are messed up today, won't go to church, said it didn't work for me, as we're going to give some testimonies here. And this is something that I want, can I hit? People don't want to preach on this. Preachers won't admit that they made mistakes. We have to, just as long as anyone else, we as preachers have to admit we got into error, we taught false doctrine, we got deceived. Are you attacking certain things? No, you're attacking the devil. You're letting people know, you come out. Don't be trapped in these messages. Don't be trapped. So that's my heart, is to help people. It's not to attack anybody, but you have to know what truth is so you can come out of deception. And people are silent. Preachers are silent. They're so concerned about building big ministries nowadays, they won't even face false doctrine. They won't deal with it. They don't want to be negative. Well, Jesus was negative. God is negative. You have to have positive, negative to have balance, right? Don't eat of that fruit. Don't eat of that tree. What happened? Well, that was a bad confession. Well, what happened? They died, didn't they? They had a bad reaction. Well, that's kind of negative. So you have to have both to create truth. So we found out E.W. Kenyon, and study him. Study him. There's so much on the internet right now. I don't know how long some of this stuff will be up. Take advantage of it. He went to Emerson College of Oratory in Boston, which was a breeding ground at the time for the newly emerging New Thought cult. New Thought claimed to have discovered laws of faith, advancing a Christianized version of their occult teachings. Is that an ouch? Hallelujah. All right, let's go into the false doctrines. Now, 1 Timothy 4:1 says what? There's going to be, in the last times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Our faith is to be in him. Our faith is to be in the Lord. Our faith is to be in what he has said. Okay, the first one is faith in faith. The primary false teaching is that a Christian by their faith can make God do anything. They put their faith in their faith. To them, faith is a force that we can use to make God heal us, keep us healthy, and make God make us rich and get us all that we desire. They twist the scriptures in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. This proves to them that faith is a substance that allows God to be a slave for you, to make him create the world that you want and desire, to be healthy, wealthy, and a master of your own life. It's nothing more than Christianized humanism, that we are in control and God is not. A better translation for that word substance could be assurance. Now, faith is the assurance that God promised. What he promised is God never fails. It's a human being's trusting in a God they can't see to do things he's promised. That's what faith is. God's telling us his word. We can't see him, but he's left us his word so that what we can trust in that. That's faith. We put our faith in what he has said. It's simple. These people have complicated it, make it so hard. Well, I just guess I don't have enough faith then. That's all they've been taught. That's all they've been condemned. You don't have enough faith yet. Just confess it a few more times. Rub your beads. The second one, so the first one is faith in faith. Second one is positive confession. We talked about this last week. It comes from new thought, okay? Our words control reality. We have what we confess because words are our containers of faith. How many of you have ever heard that? Then the force of faith is activated and healing and health will eventually be manifested to you for $49.95. No. But you must keep on positively confessing in order to stay healed, or if you're broke, to make you rich. You have to keep on confessing. Some formula of faith. Confess or speak it, believe it, and receive it because God is obligated to do so because we use faith and confession. Positive confession works off of faith and it attracts. Okay, does this remind you of law of attraction? God's power to work on our behalf to make us rich and well, while negative confessions is fear that attracts the devil to allow him to make us sick and poor. They say our words are so powerful we attract sickness like cancer and even death if we are just accidentally, we utter a negative confession like my head is killing me when we have a headache because it could cause us to die of a brain tumor or a brain hemorrhage. It puts fear in people. You can't even, it is bondage, and you can't even be honest with people. How are you doing? You have to make this confession. We are to ignore and deny the symptoms. And we are to confess we're fine. Symptoms are God's built-in warning system that something is wrong and needs attention. Hello? Number three, little gods. Man promoted, God's demoted. A hallmark of any cult is to alter the truth about the Godhead and specifically undermine the person and the work of Jesus Christ. They promote little God. Of course, they say it's a little g. They promote the same lie as Satan hissed in the garden, you shall be like God. Daniel 4:35, God says he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? God is in control and you are not. Amen. Thank God. You're not going to hear messages on sovereignty. God's going to do what he wants to do. Spiritual death of Jesus, number four, another bad doctrine. How could any God-fearing, saved Christian, man or woman, believe that there is any other redemption or salvation other than the suffering and the death of the cross? Okay, they come against the cross, the power of the cross. According to them, Jesus paid our sins not on the cross, but in the very pit of hell itself. They claim Christ had to die spiritually and burn in hell to save us. That would give Satan a part. Galatians 6:14 gladly says this, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can boast only in the suffering, shed blood, and death of Christ on the cross for the forgiveness of sins and nothing else. Matthew 24:4, what do we do? Stay true to the truth of God's word. And as you stay true to the truth of God's word, false teaching can easily be seen. Okay? And I want to give a couple testimonies. And I'm saying this because a lot of people in our YouTube audience, you've gone through the same thing. And it's time we speak up. It's time someone talks about it, the other side of the coin. Okay? This was a woman. She said, I lived this worldview for a brief and very painful time, putting my faith in sincere and well-intentional spiritual elders. My spouse and I think maybe this is a guy, could be the husband, bought into this worldview hook, line, and sinker at the start of our young marriage, and especially when our firstborn was diagnosed with a fatal heart issue. We were promised that if we had faith, if you believed God hard enough, he had to heal her. We read about certain spiritual laws that God was bound by. We were told that only certain people must be told about the baby's condition. Now, you know what? They take that one scripture about Jesus telling everybody to get out of the room. Now, remember, that's Jesus, and that wasn't us. Those discerning few who really knew how to pray correctly for her, they had to keep pray believing. In my eternal regret, we hurt and deceived a lot of people by essentially what? Lying about the baby's condition. Remember, you're supposed to have faith and a good conscience, right? Now she has a bad conscience because she knows she lied. She deceived people because she was told to. Because if you admitted there was a problem, if you even allowed yourself the tiniest thought there might be a problem, you wouldn't get your miracle. In New Age circles, this is called positive confession, positive thinking. Yes, it is. It's a New Age doctrine. In my naivety and desperate hope, I clung to the belief my baby would live even after she lay dead in my husband's arms. I firmly believed God would bring her back from the dead. Now, this is sad. These are people's lives that are shipwrecked. It wasn't until her graveside funeral a week later that we pulled up to the outdoor awning and I saw her casket that reality finally hit me. It hit me so hard, I refused to get out of the car. I don't want that reality. That was not what I had worked for, prayed for, and vainly hoped for, and believed in faith so hard for. But the death of my daughter 9 years ago has spurred me to look before I leap and research and study my Bible harder than I ever have before. The most hurtful thing after their daughter's death was the lack of an apology on the part of these people that pushed this doctrine so hard. There's never an apology. They don't feel sorry. They put all of the what? Blame on you. We told you what to do. It's not our fault. You didn't have enough faith. They refused to admit their mistakes. She said, it may just be my perception, but it appears this movement is growing. And it is growing because it's all over the place. Take note, however, this movement is merely witchcraft in disguise. The idea of having to say prayer in a particular ritualistic, formulatic, or prescribed manner is a key occult practice. Yes. They call it spell casting. But this is also a key in occult practice, trying to bend the natural or supernatural world and its residents to a knowledgeable human will. And the last thing on this article, after having done all their study in reading their Bible, I've come to the realization God did not fail my family. False prophets did. The only way to spiritual detox is necessary, is through repentance, forgiveness, and the grace of the cross. Another thing she noted, or he noted, whichever one wrote this one, being in God's presence or inviting the Holy Spirit to come is a nice, super Christian thought. But if we're Christ, the Bible says we have the Holy Spirit. You don't invite him to come. He's already here. You don't have to do all that work. You don't have to have a Christ consciousness and a presence consciousness. He lives inside of you. That doesn't make you God. It makes you a Christian. Okay? He's living inside of us. They use the word cultish. What is a cult? It's a religious system that distort the Bible. They distort it. They twist, they add on, but they claim to be Christians. That's why it's so hard, because they take enough truth to make you think this has to be real, but then they go outside of biblical guidelines in those gray areas. And when you're a young believer, you want to obey God, and you, of course, you want to do everything that these teachers are telling you. So these leaders do an enormous amount of teaching on submission to authority. Now, look up the ones I've done on spiritual abuse. They make you submit to them, because they're the ones that have these divine revelations and you don't. And they're special because they're in the fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry gifts just have a gift. They have to live it just like anyone else. So they do teachings on submission to authority, walking in love, and staying away from being offended. You can't be offended. Why? This produces a fearful cult. You never question the leader. You never ask questions. You can never share when you're hurting. Because if you're hurting, there's something wrong with you. If you have a symptom, well, of course it's a lie. Do you understand how deceptive this is and how much bondage this is and this, how much fear it puts people in to even question their pastor? So this produces what? A fearful cult-like atmosphere in their churches. It keeps people from expressing hurts and concerns. Because if you point out a concern, you're the problem now. It makes people feel like they can't leave their church for any reason. I want to tell you today, you can leave your church. They didn't save you. If they're teaching false error and they won't repent, then you need to. Like all of us have had to do. These teachers live the lifestyle of the rich and famous and flaunt it as a testimony of God's favor, while the people they're sending, the people that are sending in their money, are regarded as nothing. God's not like that. He doesn't favor this man over this man, and then they get up and they boast. I've been in some meetings, I just wanted to walk out. I just thought, this is arrogance at its highest level. Who do these people think they are? They're just prideful. These ministers love to boast and brag about their faith and what their faith has done for them. Who gets the glory? God doesn't get any glory. This one great faith preacher was talking about, well, I hope you like the building you're in because my faith got us this building. You know what? If God was not so merciful, we'd all be struck dead for our pride, wouldn't we? It's a religion that revolves around faith instead of a religion that has faith in God. It's another religious movement. They teach faith in faith and faith in words. That's humanism, and it puts man in charge. Now this is the pastor's wife's testimony, and her husband went to the same school you did, Barb. A lot of these came out of these teachings, and they've repented and renounced it. She said, I saw a documentary once about cults. And I remember when I first got reconnected with Barb again, she goes, go look up the word cults. I was like, wow, that just seems so far away, like it's... And she said, they all maintain a strong sense of what? Control and manipulation. Guess what? God doesn't control or manipulate you. Even friends that think they can control and manipulate, give you the silent treatment, that's witchcraft. Yes. Sometimes the manipulation took the form of subtle suggestion in their teachings. Sometimes the control was enforced with guilt over money. Sometimes the leader used intimidation and ridicule of its members. Sometimes they struck fear in the hearts of their followers by predicting their destruction if any were disobedient. How many know God is not going to do that? Prophets saying, if you don't receive my gift and what I have to share, you're going to die within a year. Some of these other great television preachers said, if you come against what I'm preaching, your children will die. Red flag. Red flag. Sad, isn't it? both the husband and wife, the pastors, both came to realize we did some of these very same things terribly wrong. I guess one of the worst things that I noticed about myself is how judgmental I had become, judging everyone's motives. I have seen good people leave from a church and be ridiculed from the pulpit. Red flag. Bullied. Called names. I've heard a well-known television preacher say that occasionally even the body of Christ needs a good bowel movement. See ya. And a lot of these people left because of, what did they leave? They left because of false teaching. They left because of bullying. Just because someone's a pastor doesn't mean that they have the right to bully you. They don't have the right to use you in a sermon and put you down in front of everybody else. And that, what does that do? Keeps us all in line so we don't leave. Narcissist. I've heard pastors have in guest speakers to whip the congregation into shape. When he'd lost control, bring in prophet so-and-so. These people here are causing me trouble. Preach a good one, would you? Okay, I'll whip him in. How did I do? The speaker went, oh, this stuff's all in religion. Oh, yeah. The speaker went so far as to say the ones that left would be dead within a year because of their leaving the church offended. That's putting curses on people. That's witchcraft, and that's definitely not the Lord. What does he say? Come out. He's probably saying, great, good job. Glad you finally left that narc. What do you think that does to the remainder of the people in the congregation? It makes them fearful. They don't ever want to question. They don't want to be used in a sermon. They don't speak up. I have heard ministers ridicule poor, suffering family members that had already buried a child, and they did it publicly from the pulpit. Some churches encourage you not to read anything but their movement's material. You can't listen to anyone but our preachers. Because they don't have the light we have. They don't have the knowledge we have. So this movement, they believe, has all the light. Therefore, anything else is just worthless hearing, worthless reading. I am writing all these things because I know that some point in the past, I have too been guilty. I've judged, I've bullied, I've ridiculed and hurt people. I have repented and I'm truly sorry. This movement is very, very, very dangerous. There are people that have literally lost their lives and died in faith. The leaders will say they have never told someone not to go to the doctor, but their suggestions through their stories tell you otherwise. Congregations want to live up to the example they see in their leaders. When a leader declares boldly that they have not been sick or have not gone to the doctor for any symptoms, then the people try to mimic that behavior. Wake up, begin to ask the Lord to show you truth. Don't be afraid to ask questions. It's our responsibility in these last days. Now, the last one I want to share is what to expect. Sometimes you have to leave people that you love and movements that you thought were right, and you have to leave. We are dealing with this nonstop with the people that watch our YouTubes. Is it easy? No, but are you glad you did it? Yes. And you'll find out that there's some things. This is a testimony. I'm only reading parts of it from a lady on what to expect if you have recently left a church that you have attended for years. You're going to experience a dark season. By dark, I mean finding your way from deception to truth. You will be forced to face the truth about your former pastor and many friends and family members who you love and respect. Many of these people are good people. They are just deceived. These people here didn't grow up in the church, so it was the only family they ever had. After I left, I questioned everything that I'd ever learned in church. I felt lost. I became cynical. I didn't know who Jesus was. I went through what can only be described as a deprogramming. I lost the only church family that I'd known. I started drinking. I became an alcoholic. This is sad, but I deal with this all the time. I stopped reading the Bible because I had no idea how to study it correctly. I stopped praying. I didn't trust anyone. I was angry beyond belief. I cried every day, and I was mad at God. People gossiped about me after I left. Thankfully, I left on good terms, but people still had their doubts and their questions, and they assumed the worst. I almost lost my faith. The good news is 2 years later, I almost feel like I'm completely healed. I am now able to rightly divide the word. It takes time, but you will recover. You have left a cult and need help processing what you've been through. You have been changed forever. You will no longer be the same type of Christian that you were. You're going to be better. It takes time to develop a new identity in who Christ really is. You'll be better spiritually, healthy and sane. You won't feel like a failure every time your positive confession fails. You will no longer fear and serve man. You will come to know God in his sovereignty. You will meet true Christians. This is the good news, and this is so true. You will meet true Christians whose only goal is to live for Christ. Not for your looks, in other words, your image. I see a lot of people coming out of these movements, they still have an image. They're fake. You don't have to be fake about anything. Be who you are, and people will love you. True Christians will love you for who you are. Admit your mistake. I love people that confess their faults. We blew it. So what? Who hasn't? We're not judging. You come out of all that. You'll meet true Christians whose only goal is to live for Christ, not for looks, money, houses. So many people in these movements are so in debt because they want to believe that this shows that I'm prosperous because God is with me. They're just broke at a higher level. It's very sad. They can't afford things, but they have to put that image up. Money, houses, and cars. You'll be healthy spiritually. There's nothing greater than to be healthy spiritually and that you serve God. You're not off trying to please men. And your faith is real because it's in him. It's in his word. We still believe in certain things, but we're not putting the focus on us. We're putting our faith in him and what his word says, not these new apostles that are going to come. And the problem that we had with some of the movements we came out of, it was still the new apostolic reformation, but it was in its birthing stages. So what happens, just like in the Mormon church, they had a guy that said they saw Jesus all the time. Well, in our faith movements, we had the same thing. We had people that said Jesus came to him and appeared 8 times. What difference is that versus extra-biblical revelations based on what a man said? So what we were all, what spiritually very innocent and naive, and, you know, I'm not going to doubt something you tell me God told you. I mean, who'd want to doubt that? But when it comes to now seeing all the shipwrecks of some of these movements, I had to go back and I said, where did this all start? And I cried and I cried and I just thought, this is so sad because there's so much Christian Science and New Age mixed in. And then when I found out what New Thought was, I'd tell people, this is a metaphysical science. What's that? Well, you go study these things out and you're going to start seeing the mixture and the leaven. And then you see why things don't work. And it didn't even work for them. This is a sad thing. A lot of these people preached, and one of the main ones said he didn't have heart problems. The strange thing is, his nurse called me. She lived in Tulsa at the time, but she called me right before I moved from Wayzata. And I didn't seek her out for some reason. I think God just wanted me to know, because he knows when I know truth, I have a big mouth. And she said, I was so-and-so's nurse, and I gave him heart medicine most of his whatever, end of his life. She said, he was always on heart medicine, and he had a lot of heart problems. That's never been told. Now, some of these things you're going to research, you'll find the death by faith in these articles. You'll see. But why not let your followers know the truth instead of just putting and portraying this image that we never fight anything, that we're not on medicine? Maybe it'll bring that person down to human standard rather than a godlike standard. Because what? The Bible says, though our inward man is renewed day by day, our outward man is perishing. Have you noticed a little perish lately? A little rink, rink, a little bald, a little bulge. I mean, yuck, yuck. Things happen. Why? Because we're not going to live here forever. He told us all these things. We're trusting him for his keeping power. We're still believing in him, right? But there is a balance. And God is sovereign. He said there is an appointed unto a man once to die. Can we control death? Oh, some people act like they can control when they die even. You know, they're going to live. I used to go to these preacher seminars, drive me nuts. I'm living till I'm 120, this preacher would tell me. Who even lives to 120? Who would even want, when you start leaking, it's time to go home. That's what I heard another preacher say. I thought that was funny. Let me close with this. What is sovereignty? Sovereignty is God does whatever he pleases. God's in control. We are not. This message makes it seem like God's in the back seat. We can just whip him around. We can tell him. But have you found out that doesn't work? Is he deaf? Sovereignty, and this is a thing I want to leave you with. Beware of change agents. When one minister comes in, one apostle, one prophet, and they come in and they change everything. Of course, they're the forerunners of Jesus Christ. They have this special power to. Jesus said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Watch for change agents. Change agents is a new age emerging term. Change agents, paradigm shifts, all these things. Proverbs 24:21 says, meddle not with them that are given to change. Don't meddle with them. They're going to change all this new Christianity. They're going to change it, or you can change it by your words. Boy, aren't you special. Oh, Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, and I change not. Romans 1, they change the truth into what? A lie. God doesn't want us to be liars. More people, this one lady, we were burying her husband, and someone came and said, we can raise him from the dead. She says, what do you think? I said, no, he's already been dead for a few days. Let him go on to be with the Lord. That's our greater reward. But these people that run around saying, well, we just came from this school, and they said we can raise the dead. It's sad. She was a widow. She goes, what should I do? What should I do? I said, no, your neighbors are going to think you're nuts. Don't be trying to raise him from the dead. We have a funeral planned. But this is what people go through. They're desperate. They want something to happen. They want to bring that loved one back. And again, don't be deceived by false teachers. And we've all been exposed to this. And if you haven't, just turn on your local TV, because there they are. The devil's going to promote this kind of Christianity. True Christianity is going to be what? Persecuted? Why? Because if they hated him, they're going to hate you. He does call us to come out and be separate. And if you don't believe that, go read Revelations. Is it 17? I always get Mark. Thank God for Mark. He always corrects my scriptures when I say them wrong. Done that for years. They all laugh. Oh, there she did. Missed another one. Yeah, but he corrects it down below. But it talks about the harlot. The harlot's going to be huge. The remnant small. Narrow is the way, and few be. And thank God if you're finding the narrow way. Thank God. Rejoice. If you don't fit in with popular Christianity, hallelujah. If you've run away from a preacher narc, hallelujah. If you've left loved ones behind, you know what? You got to go on your journey. We all have. They don't want to hear this. They'll slap you on the head and say, be healed in Jesus' name. I wish it was that easy. As you go in, ladies go, should I go in for a hip replacement? I can't tell you what to do, but I'll believe for you. I'll stand with you. These guys condemn you, put you down. You don't have, and then a year later, they're going in for one. But they won't tell you. Have faith and a good conscience. Amen. Father, we thank you for truth that sets us free. I just pray this YouTube will help people come out of a feeling they're alone, feeling like, why isn't this working for me, knowing that we've all come from this. And Lord, I just pray for the preachers out there. They'll have faith to preach this. We have to stand before God one day for what we're telling. And it's not good. If we've come out of these movements, we do have to expose it. We have to say, we've blown it too. We believe the same thing. We're all in the same boat. And I thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. And we just thank you, Lord, for spiritual healthy people. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?